Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. All right, so Brandon, I wanted to have you on, and I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing, kind of moving forward.
Yeah. Great.
Me and Sean were saying how it just depends on how much you like to talk about yourself.
I love to talk about myself.
You love to talk about yourself? it just depends on how long we spend there, because I have this, what might be kind of risque topic, okay. Because of where it comes from. Okay. It's really not going to be real. It's not that bad. I don't feel like it's an issue.
So you're going to blindside me.
I'm going to say a word, though, that's going to be a trigger for a lot of people.
Okay.
And so we'll just kind of see where it goes. So if you're really wanting to get upset today.
Honest reactions. Is that what I was called here for?
Honest reaction. And if people are scrolling through YouTube, you know, podcasts, they're like, what's something that will upset me?
Okay.
Or... what's something, you know, I can get, because I mean, obviously, like most things, a lot of it's kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
So it may be like, what's something that's really gonna upset me, or what's something like, yeah, I could get behind that, I'm passionate. I'm gonna say a word that can draw some lines.
Okay.
And so we'll get into that, and then we're not gonna stay there very long, but we're just gonna use it as a springboard.
Okay.
But first, like I said, we just want to talk about you. We want to talk about the man, the myth, the legend.
I don't think I've ever been called those things.
So tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, your faith walk, and then what are you doing now?
Okay. Well, my background is I was raised in the Catholic Church.
All right.
And yeah, altar boy and everything, ringing the bell, lighting the candles.
Come on now.
Wearing the robes. It was legit.
And,
I did enjoy it. I didn't fully understand it at that time. You know, I was young. I think I was eight to nine when we stopped going to the church.
Okay.
And that was because my parents got a divorce. And there was just some things that happened there that they didn't feel like they wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
And so we kind of dropped out. But I had some really great experiences within that, church camps.
Yeah.
And going to like collective things that the Catholic Church did in the bigger cities. I was from a small town here in Idaho, which is Chalice, Idaho.
Okay. All
very right. small. It's like 1,000 people. And so we would join up with and go to like Idaho Falls or Pocatello and meet up with other Christians and Catholics specifically. And I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I had some, what I would say, God experiences through that.
Yeah.
So as I grew up, not being in the church anymore, I still had like this faith in God. Like I trusted that he was real. And my parents didn't like lose their faith over not going to church. They just stopped going to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And so we still referenced God in some ways. We weren't like praying all the time or anything, but except when we needed to, you know, and we would.
Yeah.
And my brother actually went through a really bad car accident when he was 18. Yeah. Going through his senior year, 17 actually. Going through his senior year. And that was a time where I got to see like a miracle. Like he's lucky to be alive today.
Wow.
He was in intensive care. It was an end over end rollover car accident.
Dude.
Yeah. Pronounced dead on the scene. They revived him.
No way.
I don't know if they pronounced him dead, but he was he was dead
and
they had to revive him. And then they took him to a hospital and then he was in intensive care for for I think a full month and then in the hospital for 3 months or so. And that in that time, there was some touch and go things where our community rallied and prayed together.
Mm.
So there was some faith element there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as I got older, I got married to my wife. And I knew that I wanted to be married before God. I didn't want to just go to like a justice or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we actually went through counseling with a pastor that I don't know how we found him, but I can't remember.
Okay.
Really great guy though. And we did some premarital counseling just cause I wanted to go through that process of getting married, by a pastor under God. And even though we weren't going to church at the time and, my wife was okay with it. So we did it.
Nice.
And that was another little piece. And then, we didn't actually start going back into a church or becoming a part of a church until a couple years later. Mm. And we had moved to Seattle, Washington, just for work and school. And then we moved to Portland, Oregon. And a friend of ours, well, now she's a friend. At the time, she was a coworker of McKinsey's.
Okay.
Invited her to church and just kept inviting her. And she was that, like, annoying church person that's always inviting you to church that is actually inspiring
that
to me now.
That works.
It does
that
work.
That works,
yes.
People.
Invite people to church.
Yes, and keep inviting.
And keep
Don't
inviting.
Don't invite one time and then be like, oh, I guess they didn't really want to come, and then keep it quiet. Keep the invitation going.
Totally. Yeah, because, we're living proof that that works.
Yeah.
And that was the start of our journey. Man. Was that she finally was like, oh, sure, I guess I'll go. And my wife didn't really have much of a Christian. She had some Christianity within her family, but she wasn't going, she never had much of a church experience or anything like that. Mm. And so she didn't really know what to expect. And she went in there and she just really enjoyed it. It was like a 20-somethings church in Portland, Oregon called Mosaic. They had a guy that I thought was probably older than he was.
Yeah.
He was probably like in his early 30s. He was the pastor.
Uh-huh.
So it was a really young church, a lot of fun. And we joined right into like a friend group there, joined a small group.
Yeah. All
and, and so I started going with her as well. There's more to that story, but
yeah,
we don't have time for all of it, obviously. So I'll skip some things.
I don't know if there is very many things that we can attribute as a reason for men getting into church than following a girl in that.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Christian girls are nice.
Christian girls grow the kingdom. I'm just saying.
Oh, although she wasn't really, you know, but still, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we went in, and that was a totally different experience for me after growing up at the Catholic Church. My grandma played organ and stuff, and it was very, you know, hymns and organ and reverence and, you know, the robes and all that. And to walk into a church that had like a full band on stage. And I was a drummer myself. I was a musician. And so when I walked in and saw, I was like, they got a drum set in church? That's so loud. Like, this is awesome. So that actually drew me in more than anything at the time was the music. But then the like real experience that took us like to really like trusting and like believing that there's a God.
Mm.
And that was that we got an opportunity to go on a mission.
Mm.
And that mission was a disaster relief mission to Louisiana for Hurricane Katrina when that happened.
Oh, dude, you went down there too?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So I can't remember exactly what year that was. It was right after 2000-ish.
Okay.
I want to 2002 or something like that.
I went out there a few years after.
Yeah.
It was like 2008.
Okay, it might have been further than I was thinking. But anyway, that was our first kind of like, we went down there with 20 people, I think. And they were all in their early 20s, except for the couple leaders that went.
Yeah.
So we saw God in a couple of ways. We saw God like help us raise the funds for it.
Yeah.
Because we did that. And like literally, and someone had told us this too. You know, God's going to make it happen. Because we were really worried. We weren't making a ton of money at the time. Mm-hmm. We were fresh and out of school and just trying to get by. And we ended up with, I can't remember what the exact amount was, but we were just like $300 short or something.
And so
at that time, that was a ton of money to
us. Yeah, yeah.
And like literally like the last minute before we were supposed to turn in the money for like the final push to get the tickets and all that kind of stuff, the money just came in like all at once from one person.
Wow.
And it was like exactly what we needed.
That was
one of those first like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we went there and just experienced God in a lot of ways. Like Bible, I remember there being a Bible in one of the places, and everything was completely devastated by the flood, right?
Yeah.
The houses were just moldy and gross, and there was this Bible that like somehow survived and didn't get damaged by the water. And they were looking through it, someone on our team, and then they found this verse, and I wish I could remember what the verse was, I'm sure. But I remember it just being like really encouraging, and even the family interactions, us serving these families down there was just really powerful. Like,
so cool.
And we just saw God move and through that. And they say, you know, a lot of times you go into missions thinking you're going to like help these other people so much, but I mean, you're only there for a week usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you will help a couple of people. It's it's never as much as you think it's going to be as far as how much you're able to help. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's worth doing. But you receive so much from it. Like going to serve in that way and just spending that many, I feel like it's kind of like camp for kids.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm a big proponent of camps because the difference is like every day you're just maybe spending like a few minutes with God here and there, mm-hmm. like in your Bible and all that stuff. When you go on a mission or when you go to a camp or when you're spending that kind of time with other Christians,
yep.
and you're just like every meal you're talking about it, every conversation you're talking about mm-hmm. it, and you get those like days in a row of just like God
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
There's just something different.
Absolutely.
Like I always say that to my kids when we get back from camp, because now I'm a youth pastor, right? I get back from camp and I'm always like, just try to do that every day.
Exactly.
Like if we could just do that in our regular lives, our lives would be so different in the way that we interact with
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. I mean, you just think about even we go to church, right? And maybe we're at church for an hour or 2 hours every week.
Yeah.
And some of the experiences that we have at church, but could you imagine if you were at church every day, right?
Yeah.
And then so you were spending an hour or 2 hours focused on God and conversation about God, hearing God's word, worshiping mm-hmm. God for just two hours every day versus 2 hours for a whole week.
Yeah.
That would change things dramatically. And so when you're at these things like camps, missions trips, and your whole day is just, you know, in and out of conversations with God, serving with God, praying with God, worshiping God, there is something so special about just being able to set that time aside.
Totally.
And God moves there. And I think that should be an encouragement that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us.
Yeah, make him part of more of our regular lives, integrate him in a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the early church did. If you look at Acts, the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the church, like it says they met daily.
Exactly.
They met daily and they broke bread together and they had discussions and they prayed for each other.
Right. And they had hours of prayer. They had hours. Like it wasn't just a, you know, maybe a little bit once a day, mm-hmm. Like 5 minutes, but they were spending significant time, you know, in prayer with one another and meeting and doing these different. If there was one factor that you could say, okay, if I raise this, then my relationship with God will go to another level. I'll hear him better. Mm-hmm. I'll experience him more.
Yeah.
I will, you know, be able to really feel like I'm growing in my relationship with him and doing things for him, just spend more time with him.
Yeah.
Just.
And you see how the world like fights to not have that happen.
Oh yeah. Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
The distractions, the screens, all that. It's just always trying to like keep us from doing that regular,
exactly.
like everyday time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh man. If
we could do a whole podcast just on that, right?
Oh yeah. No. Actually, I have that written right here. Distractions, right?
Yeah. Distractions. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That, I feel like, because something that was coming to my mind earlier was options paralysis. So there's that idea of, and this will happen to me. I go to the store just the other day. I was inside Albertsons and I'm looking at the hot sauces. I didn't have any hot sauce at home. I was like, I want a good hot sauce. Let me get something good, right? And so I'm looking at all these different hot sauces and I can find myself standing there for a significant amount of time trying to figure out what hot sauce I'm going to get. Because I don't go in there with like, okay, I'm going in there and grabbing my tiger sauce. Like that's a good go-to, right?
Right?
But, you know, I wanted something hot. I wanted something. So I'm in there looking around and that options paralysis is a true thing when you're going in and you don't know exactly what you're going for. And then you see so many different options that can hold you for so long. And I think what's interesting is we have options paralysis when it comes to life in general, mm-hmm. more now than at any other time, because there's so much that we have at our fingertips. There's so much that we could watch. There's so much that we can listen to. There's so much. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, this is one out of hundreds
millions,
of thousands, millions, of options that are out there, right? And if you are, you know, trying to figure out what am I going to do to kind of unwind at the end of the day, you could sit down and read your Bible.
Yeah.
Or
a million other things.
A million other things, right? Yeah. And some other things that may seem easier, because if we've practiced other things, then our mind's going to make us feel like that's an easier route.
We're creatures of habit.
Exactly.
Right? So whatever we've made a habit, that's the hardest thing is breaking those habits.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That could be a whole nother episode too. So before we get super, so I have ADHD a little bit, so we'll try not to like get too far off topic.
I can bring us back.
You can bring us back.
So we were just talking.
On, yeah.
But actually, before we move too much farther in your story, I actually wanted to ask. So you said that you were in the church up until nine, the Catholic church, up until about 9 o'clock, yeah. 8, 9-ish. What's so cool to me is that you look back with fondness on some of those memories.
Sure.
You weren't even a teenager yet. You weren't even in middle school yet. So you were just in grade school, right?
Yeah.
You're 8, 9 years old. And God was already putting things in your heart kind of and making some roots, planting some good seed.
There's a foundation there.
That's so cool.
That made it really easy for, like, when my wife was like, this person. So we didn't live together is why we didn't go together the first time.
Uh-huh.
We were actually separated because we were married, but I was living in Seattle and she was living in Portland because we hadn't fully made the commitment to move to Portland yet.
Mm.
So she started going before me, and then she was like, there was an invite there. It's like, hey, I tried it out. I think it's pretty cool. What do you think? And I was like, yeah, let's go. I mean, I've done this before.
Yeah.
It's not scary to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I definitely had a foundation of faith underneath there that made it easier to get back into.
That's so cool. That is, I feel like that's so important for us to realize with kids.
Oh, sure.
That they can have those positive exposures.
And I hope that with my kids, right?
Right.
Because they got to grow up within the church as us. And like many kids, they may have that fall away time because the world is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of influences they start facing once they get through into high school and probably definitely in college when they start separating from us. And we're not going to have the same influence we have now.
Yeah.
And so my hope, you know, is that hopefully we built enough of a foundation. They got to experience God in enough ways that when the hard comes later in life, because it will.
And the distractions.
And the distractions and all those things, they might go. They might come to a point where they're like, well, hopefully they just stay in the church. But if they don't, they'll come to a point where they're like, well, I remember that to this time when I was a kid where I actually did experience God in some way, and then there's something for them to come back to.
How many of the servants in my father's house has room as food to spare, right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
being able to look back and say, okay, I remember.
Right, prodigal son story.
I remember that's my favorite one. Father's. Yeah. But I feel like that's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Building that foundation, he was able to look back on what he remembered from his father's house.
Yeah.
If he had never been in the father's house, the father obviously representing God.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Then he can't really look back on that.
Right.
And make that decision to go back.
Yeah.
So that's, he won't have a point of reference.
Right.
So
I think I'm really glad that they have that.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And I'm glad that I had it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure.
So you also said that you guys reached out to a pastor.
Yes.
Or to get married. You guys did premarital counseling.
Yep.
Right. And got married. So I'm curious why a pastor, not a priest? Or was that even, was that part of the conversation at all?
How
did that go?
Probably it wasn't part of the conversation. I don't know that I recognized the difference at the time.
Okay.
So I was just like, I just want, I didn't use the word priest, but. Yeah. I just knew that pastor, like someone, someone
absolutely.
In the, a church will, father, so
exactly,
to speak.
Yeah.
Someone who could, have something to input into us, you know? So I don't remember there being a conversation about what kind of church or anything like that. We weren't really concerned about that at the time. So I think we just took a recommendation of someone that probably one of our, I can't even remember, probably one of our families knew of a connection. And so we got into it that way.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I love that. I love that you weren't making a distinction, that you didn't even, because to me, that shows that as you were growing up, you weren't being inundated with all these different viewpoints.
I wasn't getting this is the way.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, this is the only form or sect of the church that is the right
or
way.
Or avoid those people. Or
Yeah, we weren't really getting that, which is good.
Yeah.
I really liked our priest that we had. We called him Father Tom.
Uh-huh.
And,
that's just a good name.
Who
can't like
it just
Father
sounds
Tom,
like a nice guy. And
that's
he
like
was
Mr. Rogers.
I really Father have fond Tom. Fond memories of Father Tom.
Yeah.
And so does my brother, who's 4 years older than me. And we talk about him with fondness and the time
that's so cool.
with fondness. So it wasn't like this weird thing. You know, there's been a lot of hard things come out about Catholic Church and different things, and that's the thing is it's people, right? So you're gonna have good and bad and everything.
Oh,
and that's true in the modern day non-denominational churches
absolutely.
Too, right? You're going to have some really great leaders and you're going to have some not so great leaders
absolutely.
That make mistakes, and you see it all the time.
Yeah.
And
I'm just thinking about, I'm three major branches where I can look back and say, okay, they've had within my lifetime big scandals.
Sure.
You have the Catholic Church, you have within the AG, mm-hmm. and then you also have the Southern Baptist Church, which yeah. is funny because these three are almost on not completely opposite spectrums, but they would consider themselves, you know, kind of far away from each other mm-hmm. among the litany of different denominations.
Yeah.
They would be far off from each other and almost yeah. look at each other as opposites sometimes. Sure. So all
but
three
they're all
of those,
people.
But all they're all people. They've all had a scandal,
yeah.
right? And so it's, you can't really look at it and it's like, oh, well, it's because that's not the true right way of doing things or
yeah.
but it's like all of them have had their issues.
Yeah.
And so I just find that interesting because it should be humbling.
Yes.
Really. It should humble us to realize, okay, yeah, we're still dealing with people. It's not that our yeah. doctrine so much better and we're so much more right. sanctified than them. No, we all have this mess.
Yeah. Well, and the lesson there is, right, don't worship the
exactly.
lead pastor, don't worship the person in charge, worship God.
Exactly.
And know that the person in charge probably is struggling with something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know as a person that's been in church leadership, I still have struggles sometimes. Yeah. I still need to be forgiven sometimes. Yep. I'm still making mistakes sometimes, hopefully not in a scandalous way.
Yeah, right.
And not so far. But I'm not a perfect person and nobody yeah. is. And I think
exactly.
that's a lot of times people put these put people like that up on, especially if they're like a mega church
yeah.
pastor and stuff. And
well,
they're
I mean,
even
just
they're,
like a denomination
they're a target. I mean, those
a whole.
Those people are targets.
Yeah.
You know, because the enemy doesn't want any of that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
He's gonna definitely try to tempt them into doing the things that they shouldn't do,
yeah.
and unfortunately, he's successful a lot,
yeah.
and but that's not, and that's where people get a bad taste in their mouth about mm-hmm. church in general.
Yeah.
But God doesn't change,
yeah,
and I don't think, and Jesus doesn't change, and the story of Jesus doesn't change, and that's what we have to latch onto, and that's
absolutely.
And it's really we have to educate people,
yeah,
that, like that's the real thing. That's it's not the person that's really good at giving the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person who made the message. Like,
come on now.
The person who is the message.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Right?
Right? Come on, let's preach. but yeah. Yeah, I didn't make that differentiation. And I still try not to. Like, I don't really have anything against the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
There's reasons why my mom decided to leave there that I won't share here. But I don't, but I think there's, again, it's like there's really good people within the Catholic
oh,
Church.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that are trying to follow God.
Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
I'm not going to shame on any mm-hmm. specific denomination or yeah. because a lot of the differences I think there's open hand differences
oh, yeah.
and there's closed hand differences,
absolutely.
Right?
And most of the things we divide over are the open.
Yeah, hand. A lot of those things are just yeah. like, okay. you
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Like I did communion this way versus this way, you
yeah.
know, and I just don't think I don't see that in the heart of God.
Exactly.
I don't see that dividing over every little thing. There's big things like Jesus is the Son of God.
Exactly.
That I would divide over.
Yeah.
But I think that's the church. Yeah. So like those are those big things, right?
Exactly. Well, and I think the early church, they did a good job of having enough issues for us to learn from.
Yeah, sure.
Because if you look yeah. within scripture, I mean, you see that they have a litany of issues.
Oh, sure.
And they do a good job of talking about these are the areas where we draw the line.
Yeah.
Like they literally
oh, yeah.
get in there and they'll tell you that, okay, this is where we draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Over these things, we, you know, we give mercy, we give grace, forgiveness, we pray
yeah.
for restoration. This type of person have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Like this thing is not of God. And they get in there and they'll get pretty clear about it.
Yeah.
And so when we start adding to that as far as, okay, this is something to divide over.
Right.
But it's not one of those things that we see within the New Testament that they're saying this is something that somebody needs to step away from
mm-hmm.
or where, you know, this doesn't fall in line with the teachings of the church, then, well, that's something I think sometimes there we need to focus more and highlight more, have better understanding versus the other little things
yeah.
that should be open hand things that will make,
right,
you know, the mountains, the crossover.
Yeah. And I think it's fine to have those little things and have your own little communities, but then Like, I know we're talking about unity yeah. today too, and that's, well, we could still work together.
Exactly.
As the bigger, I was called the Big C Church, right?
Yep, exactly.
As the bigger body of church,
yeah.
Church being the people, not a building, right?
Yeah.
And we can work together to do things. And that's really, I think, the heart of God.
Absolutely.
And still have some differences, and that's okay.
Yeah.
If we can be grace, have grace and mercy.
Have grace and mercy, yeah. Absolutely. And I think, again, that's, you see that even with the New Testament. You see that there's differences within the church.
Oh, sure. Well, I was just reading about, like, Paul. It was Paul and Silas?
Yeah.
Was it? Where they had their sharp disagreement?
Oh, Barnabas. Yeah, yeah.
Or Barnabas, yeah, sorry.
Paul and Barnabas, yeah.
Part of Barnabas, they had the sharp disagreement, and they end up splitting ways. Yeah. And I think sometimes God actually might even, like, allow those things just so that they, just so we can spread.
Yeah.
Right?
Just no, so we can absolutely.
Spread into more different
absolutely.
Ways.
Absolutely. I think that
and reach more people.
Oh, yeah. I think that's intentional sometimes.
Yeah.
Is that they'll be that so that the seed gets scattered.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love the most about the Bible, honestly, is just how real it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and actually is a way to, I think, defend the Bible's realness and yeah. accuracy.
Right.
It's like, if you were really trying to write a book that was all about love and hope and stuff, would you throw all that stuff in there? Like, because, you know, there's plenty of scandal.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bible. And But he leaves it in there
yeah.
Because that's real
yeah.
and that's how people are
exactly.
and that's the human condition.
Yep.
And we get to see mercy and grace through that.
Exactly.
Like with David, like yeah. David's a prime example of exactly. like someone who made some massive mistakes, right? But it's still called a man with a heart after God.
Yeah.
And God's always looking for heart position over whether or not you're going to make mistakes or not.
Yeah.
And I think we see that over and over through the Bible, and it's just really cool. Like
absolutely.
That's to me is like something I can lean on as an apologetics type way.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is why I believe the Bible is real.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that it's not erasing the humanity or the thing, you know, man's dirty fingerprints
yeah.
in the mix.
The messiness,
but it's showing that our God is still greater and above all those things.
Yeah.
And even with all of our failures and our faults, he can work all of that, which is more difficult than if
yes.
you were working with perfect things.
Right. Yeah. He can make us into robots that just kind of did what we were supposed to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Which is what we're doing with AI right now. Right.
Right.
and when we decide to let it go out of control, it'll be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we did. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what God did. He decided to let us have this free will and to make mistakes. And then, came along with this plan of grace and salvation. And,
exactly.
And it's kind of crazy. You're like, why did he do that? Well, no, maybe someday.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Like I look at the freedom that we have and the choice we get to make.
Exactly.
And I'm glad that he did.
Yeah.
Even exactly. though it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. So you guys start going to church. You get plugged
start going
in
to church.
To Mosaic.
Okay, yeah, go on. Yes, that was a good. Yeah, see the ADHD went.
No, you're good. We got plugged in, so you're,
we got plenty
you're there
of time,
in Mosaic.
Right?
I know right now, you have been doing youth. You've been
yes.
doing worship.
How'd
you said
there?
You were a musician.
Yep.
Right, and so you, using that for the Lord.
Yep. So I immediately got into church and started
yeah.
doing the music. Like
that's
that was
so cool.
Like I said, that was like the first thing that kind of drew me in. And you know, God will draw people in for different reasons.
Yeah.
And that's a good one.
Absolutely.
I think music is just like a gift from God. Like there's nobody
no, absolutely
secular or Christian, right?
Yeah.
Like that music doesn't impact you.
Exactly.
Like I've never met someone who's like, I hate music. Music mm-hmm. is terrible.
Yeah.
Like I wish that music didn't exist.
Right.
You know? Like,
what's his name? Even Miguel's grandmother, right? Great grandmother, the one that would say, no music in Coco. It was because like you look and you realize she loved music
mm-hmm.
and it impacted her deeply.
Sure.
So
yeah,
it's so even her.
Highly impactive.
Yep.
Right. And God uses that in the church in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I was just really drawn to that, obviously. And I was, excuse me.
Oh, you're good.
I was starting to, I was playing guitar as well at the time, but I was yeah. really, I grew up with drums and I was
mm-hmm.
pretty good at it. And so I jumped into the bands and just, I loved doing worship music. It was super fun.
Nice.
And so my wife got a degree in fashion design.
Yeah.
And while we were in Portland, and I started going to school for graphic design, because at that time I didn't feel the call to be in ministry. I was just serving in ministry.
Yeah.
And but I wanted to be involved with the churches, but I started going to school for graphic design, and that took us to New York, Mackenzie's job
yeah.
in fashion design. And so we kind of bounced around and we went to New York. And I'm going to kind of skip through some of this.
Oh, you're good.
Went to New York, then back to Seattle, which is where both of us got our degree from, our final degrees. And then came back to Idaho for a little while.
Yeah.
All that time, just being involved in churches, being part of the worship teams, just growing in my faith. Mm-hmm. Kenzie growing in her faith. And just seeing God work and doing things. And then we came back to Idaho for a time when the economy tanked in 2008. Was that?
Good times.
And that was rough. we both kind of lost our jobs and came back here and like licked our wounds and all that kind of stuff. And then decided we were back here in Boise for a brief amount of time and decided we weren't quite ready to come back and settle yet. So we moved back. We moved to California where Mackenzie had some family.
Okay.
And we started going to a church there. And immediately, it was kind of a mega church. It was pretty big. And I got into playing drums there, but they needed someone to play for their Celebrate Recovery team, which is a really awesome ministry about just helping people overcome addictions. It's like 12-step program, biblical. And
we have a few
Everybody's welcome. Yeah, they have some here. Yeah. We have one out in CUNA, actually, that our church is affiliated with out there.
Nice.
And it's just a really awesome thing. And I got to go just be a fly on the wall there because I was playing in the worship for it. And that's also where I started to do more guitar and wanted to start leading a little more.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I just felt like graphic design was great and I was doing that and I liked it, but I felt like a call to be more in worship ministry at that time. And so I started looking for worship positions and I was, I kind of cut my teeth on it at Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
And then I got an opportunity to be part of what was basically a church plant, or a relaunch, and got trained by someone there and in leading worship better because the guy who was becoming the new pastor was their previous worship leader.
Oh, wow.
And so he trained me a lot in just being worshipful, like, and not just playing the songs, but like listening to God through it. And
that's so good.
Changing my heart position, and it was just really awesome. I learned so much in that time.
Yeah,
and then also in that church, we adopted three kids. So, went through the foster adoption process, which was pretty crazy. Yeah. A lot happened there.
Yeah.
Again, just like more like deep faith building over and over again, like the CR thing, learning all that, seeing people's testimonies, and then going through our own stuff with the adoption process. Through that process, we actually fostered six kids, adopted three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so went through the loss of that and the hard of that.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that, though, just had the church surround us in love and like really got to feel like why the church community is so important.
Exactly.
And learned so much about that through that process.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just decided that we wanted to move back to Idaho because all of our family was up here still. Mm-hmm. And now we have this family, this young family, and we just wanted our family, our kids to grow up knowing their extended family. And we kind of missed Idaho. You know, we grew up here and we were ready to get out and see new things. And so we went all over the place. But we wanted to come back and we came back and, I had started dabbling in youth ministry at the end of our time there because we had the kids.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And our church was so small. We did an all ages youth ministry and we just rotated with other, parents basically. Okay. But I started teaching through that and I was really enjoying it. And I took some classes here and there along the way to learn to work on my Bible knowledge and like some I took some Old Testament classes and stuff. Learned a lot of great things and started using it and started teaching. And teaching, by the way, is the best way to learn the Bible.
It is.
Once
it
you
is,
start teaching, because you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
You don't want to portray God wrong.
Yeah.
And so you're a lot more intentional in the way you dig in to each word and relate it to yourself. And
Well, and there's something about my wife was actually telling my daughter just the other day, when you're able to teach something, then you've mastered it.
Yeah.
So you may be able to absorb a bunch of knowledge and you may even be able to work out a problem, right? And you know how to do it. but you haven't really mastered it until you can teach someone else how to do it.
Right.
And so that's really good when we're talking about wanting to know and understand scripture.
Yeah.
Right. We should be able to teach it. And to do that, you have to practice it.
Right.
You have to practice sharing it and teaching it and talking about it with other people.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, like lead a life group or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely.
And start digging in. But so started doing that. And then when we moved back here, I was actually still pretty heavily into worship ministry. Thought I was just going to get a worship job. Mm-hmm. But then after we got here, I didn't quite get the job, the first job I applied for, and started going to a church here called Stonehill. Mm-hmm. And they were doing a youth. I just got involved in their youth and was just kind of waiting for the right place mm-hmm. for God to move me. I felt like I was supposed to be part of a church plant, mm-hmm. and they were talking about doing that. And so that's why we were there. But they did a youth internship.
Nice.
And at, I think I was 40 right there. I'm kind of old for a youth pastor to become a youth pastor. But I decided to go ahead and do that just mm-hmm. to kind of even learn more about how like a bigger church does youth.
Yeah.
Learned a ton about running camps and all that kind of stuff.
That's so cool.
And I just knew I had a heart for it. And so then I decided to, I did want to be a part of a church plant because I also had musical skills and graphic design skills, mm-hmm. which all of that is very helpful for a church. And got plugged into a guy who was launching a church out in Kuna, which was E3 Church, and that's how we ended up out there.
Yeah.
Met him. We just hit it off right away. That's Brian Taylor.
Yep.
And started doing youth ministry full-time.
That's so cool.
And that was a process of becoming part-time and then full-time.
Yeah.
But then also have continued to lead worship as well. And so I've been kind of doing both until now. Man. And then now we're here. and now that God's kind of calling me into something new, we did a lot of discipleship through this last church experience that I hadn't really experienced in the same way at previous churches. I was getting discipled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just growing in the competency of Christ, right? Yeah. Being discipled.
Well, and getting you ready to come back to Idaho. So
God
sent you off so that you can get more sanctification.
Yeah, he was preparing
you to come back to the Holy Land.
But we learned some really great tools over the last few years. And I just felt like I was ready to start helping leaders.
Yeah.
And I was actually took my own leaders through our youth group, through discipleship, and just saw some really awesome things happen. Through that, the last 4 years has just been phenomenal. Like God's just moved in so many ways, in the kids that we've ministered to, in the leaders, which are also kids to me because they're like in their early 20s. just seen some really cool things, and so I just felt like God was talking to me about some of that. And now I've accepted a position with National Network of Youth Ministries,
nice.
Which the whole goal of that is to network youth pastors together.
Yeah.
And help them have community with other people that are doing what they're doing. Cause it's a hard job.
Absolutely.
Like, any pastoral job. I remember telling someone about this, it looks so fun. And then like, I remember when I first started thinking about youth ministry, you only really see the stuff that's like celebrated on Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the camp was super awesome. And we played this game, you know, and then everybody posts the games on social media and all that. And that's all great. And it's fun. And it is fun. But there's so much more to youth ministry than that.
Yeah. We're usually not posting on Instagram that time where we find one of our youth crying in a corner and having to give them.
Right. Those are private conversations. Yes. You're not going to post that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what the real job is.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Is dealing with the hurt and brokenness of the world.
Exactly.
And once you really get into that, you start realizing, oh man, this is some work.
Yeah.
It's tough. And you need support. Mm-hmm. And I had really great support in the position from both my pastor, but also I joined this network, helped create a network out in Kuna where I just reached out to all the other youth pastors and we started meeting once a month.
Yeah.
And it was just super helpful. Yeah, like
that goes a long way.
It goes so far because I remember going to like some of the first ones and we had some big things come up at our youth, like talks around like suicide and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I don't really know that much mm-hmm. about how to handle that.
Yeah.
And so I was able to go to this youth pastor network and go, hey, have you guys dealt with this? Like what? And of course they had.
Exactly.
right. Cause it's an issue
in
society right now. And they were able to just like give me feedback and like help me point me in the direction of resources and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, this is worth so much.
Exactly.
And so as we grew in that, and also we did events together with other churches, and there was like this unity piece that came from it that was just really awesome.
Absolutely.
And I've always been like, churches should be working together.
Yeah.
Like that's been my heart in every Absolutely. Church we've ever been in.
Absolutely.
And luckily I've been part of churches that were okay with that for the most part. Mm-hmm. Some people more than others.
Uh-huh.
But most of them were okay working with other churches. And and I've just seen a lot of benefit to that.
Yeah.
For the kids and for the church as a whole.
Yeah.
And so being able to do that, we did worship nights together.
That's so cool.
With a worship background, I kind of pushed that a little bit. But it was really awesome. We got to spend time with multiple churches, like all worshiping God together. Mm. And if you've ever been a part of those, you know that those are powerful moments. Just like we talked about, music's super important.
Yeah.
And God, a gift from God, I think.
Yeah.
And a way to connect with him for many people.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's the word, sometimes it's the worship, right?
Yeah.
Different people connect in different ways, but oftentimes worship is a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
And so doing that in a bigger community like that, and we would pull, because each church has their own resources of like musicians and things like that, and you could put together a really awesome thing by collaborating with other churches and the unity that comes from that.
Yeah.
And I just saw so many benefits from that. So I got to this point recently where I was like, okay, I'm kind of ready to pass the torch to someone else for youth ministry. Not getting any younger. but I still have this real big heart for youth, like really big. Like I mean, you can't stop pouring in the next generation.
Exactly.
We're only one generation away from losing faith completely, right?
Absolutely. We see that time
I've heard and time. That, and it's totally possible, and that's true with anything.
Yeah, we see that time and time again in the scriptures, especially as you're looking at 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Samuels, and Chronicles, going in through the prophets. It's like, look, you had a good king, you have a bad king, and just things go way off the rail.
So easy for things to go off course,
and
they need it, you know? Yeah. Like everybody does. But our youth are going through really hard things, and they need faith. They need people that care and want to come around them and love on them and give them mercy and grace and all the things that the Bible has to offer. And so I still have a huge heart for that. And so I started looking around, and lo and behold, found this job that is basically doing what I already did, which is setting up networks for youth pastors to get together and do that.
Yeah.
And then there's another piece of just and then trying to equip and empower them.
Yeah.
Give them training. So one of the things that's kind of lacking in general is youth pastors, they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
So they get a team of youth leaders, and oftentimes those are church members. They're not always trained. And even the youth pastors aren't trained on all things, right? They're trained biblically, but they don't necessarily have the training on how to deal with a suicide talk, you know, like I didn't, and or many other things that our society is dealing with. So how do we get them together and give them access to people that do know how to deal with those things, have been through it before.
Absolutely.
And so I really want to see, that's my heart for like the future and the vision for what I want to see accomplished through this is working. There's another Idaho coordinator. His name is Corey Freese, who I found out about. Great guy. I love him. And we're going to be working together.
Yeah.
And so my goal is to work with him and figure out how do we can just continue that mission that they have as a organization to see youth leaders and youth pastors equipped and empowered and connected.
Yeah.
So that we can accomplish bigger things. And the goal is still the youth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the healthier the leaders are, the healthier the communities of youth will be and the more people they'll reach.
Absolutely.
And so that's the goal. And I'm really excited about it. Like I'm super stoked about it.
Yeah. And that's so important because the leaders really are, most times they are that buffer. They're the ceiling of how far things can go within an organization.
Oh, sure.
And so I forget the guy's name, but he has a few different books. Started off with, I think, Emotionally Healthy Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he has like Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Oh, yeah. I've read that book.
Leadership.
I can't remember who the...
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he has a few different ones. But he really gets into that and how we need to take care of ourselves, right? And he's focusing in on that emotionally healthy piece. And I think that's really important. But you also have, we as people are complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of different things that come into our wellness. We always talk about resiliency and wellness. within larger organizations. I know, for example, within the military, it was always the word resiliency. It's about, you know, how much can you take? How can you bounce back? How are you maintaining your health so that when hard times come, you can keep going? Mm-hmm. And it all, most times it comes back to this wellness piece of your relationships, your, how are you taking care of yourself physically?
Right.
How are you doing mentally? And how are you doing spiritually? Yeah. And so when you have those different pieces together, then you're able to be able to lead to a fuller degree, be able to maintain and not burn out and different things like that. And so that's awesome. 'Cause if you guys are able to feed into these leaders, right. Yeah. And then the sky's the limit.
Right.
Right. 'Cause if they're healthy and the sky's the limit for them, well then the youth, the sky's the limit for all these different youth groups. And I love that.
And it's awesome. So easy for people in those leadership positions to get burnt out.
Absolutely.
Because they're not getting the support that they need.
No.
And they're put on pedestals, to be honest. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, you're the youth pastor. You're the pastor. You have it all together. You don't need any help.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and you mentioned
most people don't call upward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're, like, they're calling the youth the pastor to be like, I have this issue and I need help.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't go the other way.
Yeah. Well, right? And then unfortunately, sometimes as well within church organizations, your youth pastor, their chain of command is also their boss and their paycheck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there's a barrier there.
Oh, sure.
And for you guys to be able to build a network of peers and mentors, people
there's
who
no
have
barriers.
Been farther,
they're just,
where the barriers are much lower or they're non-existent, now you're able to make sure they're healthy in their relationships.
Right.
Their relational wellness is going well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't experience that personally so much, so... But yeah, I can see where that would totally happen.
I know your pastors.
Yeah,
so they're awesome.
Yeah, they're great. And you know, and sometimes, and it's not to say that like those are bad pastors. Even there's just you're not able to relate the same to everyone.
Uh-huh.
And some people have really just connect better with different people than maybe who their pastor is.
Exactly,
and that's okay.
Yeah,
and just because of different personality types even.
Uh-huh.
Like I know I connect with certain personality types better than others.
Exactly.
And it just so happened that my pastor was one of those personality types, right? So to be able to have this network of people who, and you're not going to connect with all of them either.
Yeah.
Right. There's certain people in my network that I'm much more easy to connect with than others.
But that's
because we have the network.
Exactly.
You can kind of figure out who those people are and then you can rely on them and have conversations with them.
Yeah. It's kind of that critical mass piece a lot of times we'll talk about where, if you only have, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in a room, you can walk in there and you can feel real awkward and you'd be like, oh, I don't know if I want to go back in there. But if you have, you know, 20 people or more, something like that, as the numbers increase, you're more likely to make a connection with someone.
Right.
If the numbers are small, there's a chance of you not making a connection and walking out of there is just feeling awkward and rubbed wrong is a lot higher.
Right.
So that's great to be able to pull together so many different ministry leaders, so many different youth, people with the same heart for youth dealing with the same issues.
Yeah, same issues. Yep.
Yep. So that's really cool.
No, I'm excited about it. Yes. I think it's going to be a really great fit for me.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
I'm a connector, so I love connecting with other people.
There you
go. And so that piece of it is just going to be like, I'm just going to be going out trying to connect people together.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is a connector.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another personality type thing. And they need someone to kind of help them make those connections. Like, so networks happen sometimes on their own.
Yeah.
But other places, like, they need someone to kind of come in and help find who the connector is.
Yeah.
Because not all youth pastors are the same personality type.
Or have the time.
Yeah. And so, like, actually the job is to find key leaders within each town or area to lead those things. 'Cause it does require someone to push for it and make it happen. And so that's going to be the big part of the job.
Yeah. And that's probably going to be one of the most challenging parts.
That'll be probably just finding the right key leaders, so to speak, to the,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I was going to ask, you know, what would be one of the questions I was going to ask you is, what is a challenge to seeing this type of unity and, you know, networks and things happening? And I think that's a big one is, you know, finding the right leaders with the time that want to invest into that. What would be your advice say there's someone listening back in Oregon or, you know, I don't know why Montana just came in my mind.
Sure.
But say there's someone, you know, listening out there and they're outside of your purview. So you're not going to be working with them directly. Right. But what would be your advice for them helping to strengthen unity among different youth pastors within their community?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I do know that, like, I feel like Idaho's got a pretty open, and I don't know if it's always been this way or if it's just been the communities that I've been a part of that are fairly, that have been fairly open to it.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's areas that they're, the churches are really siloed.
Yes.
And they don't want to work together.
Yeah.
And they're like, you believe what you believe, and they don't feel that. In fact, even in California where I was before, that kind of was happening. And it was interesting. And I'm not saying God did this or anything, but there was a massive fire that was that hit that area, and it really united the churches together. And I think sometimes God does allow those kind of things because it helps break some of those barriers that we put up that are superficial most of the time.
Exactly.
So the I don't know exactly what I would say because I'm just coming into it, so I haven't really seen that all those challenges. But I imagine that's one of them is that there might be some churches that feel like they don't need to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Or especially like new leaders.
We're doing good.
Especially probably new leaders that don't understand the need for it yet because they haven't had those real challenging times or those things that come up that they're like, oh, I wish I had someone else that's going through what I'm going to talk to about this. So there might be some of that where you got to kind of break through some of that and maybe help. A lot of what I'll be doing is presenting vision around that. You know, it's like helping people see the benefit of doing that. Because it could just be, it really easily could just be like, well, we just get together and have a coffee together or a lot of them we meet for pizza, right?
Another, another meeting.
Another extra thing to do that's not really bringing any value. And that's where I would, as I take the job and really want to get out there, I want to help people see the value.
Yeah.
And then use the value as best they can.
Yeah.
Because, and it can be just fun and hanging out and talking too.
Yeah.
But like, how do we dig deeper? Like when you put the, if you're putting together that network in Montana or something, how do you show up and actually go through some things that you're like, and a lot of it's going to require a level of openness, right? A level of, I don't have this all together. And that's, you know, the biggest challenge, I think.
That's the H word,
the biggest, the biggest challenge in the church is pride, right? You knew where I was going.
Humility.
The biggest problem is pride, and we don't want to tell everybody else how we're struggling. Even and especially as leaders. And because, and oftentimes because we're put on that pedestal of like, we're, we need to be up here.
Well, and I think even if you're not struggling yet, the humility to realize you're susceptible to it. There is the potential of you failing and needing help or burning out or whatever it may be. So
yeah, a lack of humility will probably lead to burnout. Let's quote that. But it's true. Like, so like go into those, if you're starting something like that, you got to go into it being like, I'm going to be open and honest about the challenges I have and willing to receive some kind of coaching or, or advice from someone who may even be younger than me, or that's probably the harder one, right? Who may be younger than me or even less experienced than me, like been in the job less amount of time, but they might still have had an experience that makes them more experienced in that specific thing, right? And we need to be willing to be that way. And that's, I mean, geez, God, Jesus calls us to that. Like,
absolutely.
Constantly. Like, be humble. Like,
Well, and I think that's another big
thing. Pride comes
too.
Before the fall.
It does. Absolutely. I think another big thing along with that as well is simply for the fact that we are encouraged to and called towards unity as believers. Maybe you're at a church where it's like your youth group's got it down. This is working like clockwork. You know, you don't need anyone else. You have
I don't need
you,
this.
You don't
community.
Need this. I got it. You know, it's on lockdown. My life is doing good and I got, you know, vacation stored up. But we are commanded, we are encouraged in scripture to be in unity with one another. And if not for your youth group, right? And maybe the sphere of influence that you have, then for the sake of the body of Christ and the witness to the world,
right?
We should be working together.
Totally.
And so that, I think that's what makes, that could make that valuable, there, even outside of what am I getting from it?
What can I give to it?
What can I give to it?
Totally.
What am I a part of?
Yeah.
Because this is being a part of the kingdom, the body of Christ, and what God is doing.
Well, yeah, like one of the big benefits I see is when the groups get together, especially like some of the smaller groups, they get to see.
Yeah.
So like we live in a pretty small community. Everybody goes to the same high school.
Yeah.
So when we did those co-worship nights, they got to see who the other Christians at their school were, which, you know, it's hard to live out loud as a Christian in a school, in a high school in today's world.
Exactly.
And so it's hard for them to do. And when they know more people are with them in that, it takes some of that barrier down and makes it a little easier. And it helps with like the FCA groups and stuff that are happening within the school.
Yep.
And we saw that. And so the bigger churches have the opportunity to be like, to help them see the mass, like help them see it's not just them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so cool. I'm excited to hear more and more about how that develops and as you guys continue to strengthen those networks out here in the youth.
Yeah.
I know me and you talked about you coming on regularly. I'm gonna try. Sure. I'm gonna try to get you back in here regularly. We're gonna we're gonna make Brandon a little co-host. What we're about.
I'm
to
down.
Do.
This is fun. Yeah, totally.
So what's it called? But just to close off for today, let's go ahead. I just want to close off with a word of prayer for what you're stepping into because I just think that's amazing. I think sometimes we undervalue the benefit, the blessing. Made me think of I was just exchanging in a message DM the other day with someone over social media as they're watching some of our content, and we were talking about how there is a blessing on unity, and there's that passage within the Psalms where it says how good it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the oil running down the head, down to the beard, dripping on the robe, and it's talking about Aaron's beard and Aaron's robe, and that is such a beautiful picture because that wouldn't have just been any oil, and that's not just any beard and robe. That is the anointing oil for the high priest.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're talking about this blessing of anointing and ministry and being able to enter in to the Holy of Holies and minister on behalf of God's people and ministering and being in the presence of God, like, oh, come on, guys. This is what unity is. This is the beauty of that.
Yeah.
So let's.
And you see that, like, just a quick example of that. Like when a whole church like worships together.
Yeah.
Those have been the most powerful, like Holy Spirit filled experiences I've ever had. In fact, the one that I remember the most is we went to this church called Brooklyn Tabernacle. And we were on a mission there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole church was just—it was so loud, just the way everybody lifted up their voices in worship together, and it was just powerful. Like literally like fell into tears, over it because there's such power in that unity of people worshiping God together, and that's true in how we do things together too.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's close off with a word of prayer. Close. Father, I just thank you so much for Brandon. I thank you just the way that you've worked throughout his life. The fact that we can see you are working all the way through and you are making those connections and you are drawing him to you. And we just thank you so much for the purpose and the plan that you've set upon him, Father, and the anointing and the gifting that you've given him. And we ask, Father, for a double portion. We ask for increase. We ask that you would continue to bless him in his efforts of seeing youth ministers come together and networking and strengthening their youth ministries and the reach of their youth ministries, and more than anything, Father, seeing teens and even young adults and adult volunteers and people who are being ministered to through these youth come to know, love, and serve you. We thank you because that's really what it's about. It's about all these different things that we're doing, the unity that we pursue, Father, it's so that the world would know who Jesus is. That they would know and that they would know your love for them. And so we pray that you would just anoint Brandon's work, bring open doors and connections and help him as a connector to just bring people together so that their communities would be changed by the unity that is among the churches there. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That just made me think one last final word. Thought. Yeah, final thought. There's lots of different things that we can look at in mm-hmm. the early church and think, man, you know, what was different? What was so different about them? Yeah. And one of those things was that they were literally carrying out Jesus's prayer in John 17. Mm. We see that Jesus prays about them being one and yeah. that the world knowing because of that.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why the early church was so powerful and changed their communities. You want to change your community. Yeah. Come Definitely. Together with other churches.
Yeah.
Just come together with other churches. Work in unity. That will change a community for sure. All right, guys. Love you. Thank you so much for joining us for the In Hope podcast. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.